It is the second. How many weeks are there in this month, guys? It's a weird, long, 5-week kind of month. We're in the
Father's Day week.
The third week of June. Father's Day's coming up. U.S. Open week, and yeah, we're just getting closer and closer to football season.
What we should have did was have all the wives on here. They did the show and talked about how much they love and appreciate us because it's Father's Day weekend, you know, so that would have been
good,
too.
I'm not sure that's going to go quite how you think it would.
Yeah. Maybe if we had a couple days' notice, talk about some items on the redacted list.
You guys don't think the wives would talk really kindly of us? You don't think so?
Mine would come equipped with a list of grievances.
She's like, now I got a platform to speak on all the things that I've been wanting.
And another thing.
Yeah. What are you doing while I'm doing real work around the house and you're doing a podcast on a Tuesday night? You know, that's probably what we'd hear a little bit about.
Possibly.
But well, the big topic is the old playoff expansion, guys. And I don't know about you guys. I don't work with the TV on, okay? So I don't hear all the hot takes. I don't, you know, really invest too much of my time into caring about what everyone has to say about this and all their hot opinions. But my thing on expansion, I've wanted to see six teams and give some sort of bye, you know, maybe do incorporate some sort of actual home field element for the higher seeds or whatever. But if we're just going to jump right to 12 teams in a couple years, then we shouldn't really have too much more to talk about once this happens, I guess.
It seems big, doesn't it?
It does seem like a lot. It does seem like a lot.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, team 13 is still going to be angry because they're going to feel like they should have got in. So I think that's going to still be an issue, the team that's getting left out. But I go back to, let's think back to the last 3 or 4 years. Besides probably the national championship games, how many have really been competitive?
Oh, like in the playoff, like the playoff era?
Yes, like... It's a scenario where there are going to be a lot of teams that get in, and I think a lot of schools who are on the fringe who've been right there will be excited about it because it gives them a chance to be on that national stage. And you give some of these schools a lot of credit. A school like Coastal Carolina, who last year I think they were 12, and I think now they have a recruiting tool to players now to go in and say, hey, look, now we have an opportunity at Coastal Carolina to go play for a national championship. And that is a big recruiting tool for them. Before that happened, with only just the four teams in, they're saying, oh, there's complaining, we don't have a chance to get in. And I can understand the bias. Everybody's used to seeing the same four schools in it and all that kind of stuff, or same four or five schools that's always in it. But I just think it adds more intrigue when it's at four, when it's at six, when it's not as many as 12. Like, that's just a lot. And I think a lot of it comes down to, at the end of the day, what are we doing it for? Is it about the money? Is it about the how much money you can make, you know, viewership-wise or, you know, people watching? I understand that part of it, too. So I just think from a player standpoint, it's almost like you're watering it down a little bit for me.
I think the happiest people to hear about this recommendation is going to be the Pac-12 because it eliminates
they never get anybody in.
It eliminates the ability that they'll get shut out. The group of five, or whatever we call the non-power five,
right?
Because it greatly reduces the chances that they're going to get shut out. And Greg Sankey, because it greatly increases the chances you're going to get two, maybe three teams in this thing.
Yeah.
So that being said, I still think you're going to end up with probably the same two teams playing for it at the end of the thing as you would with four.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ, to your point, I don't view some of these games that have been blowouts. I don't necessarily view that as that those teams that were playing didn't deserve to be in there. I view it as, you know, maybe gagging a little bit on the big stage, but I think they have a body of work. I think what you're going to see actually is probably more close games because you're increasing the number of games.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of a blowout happening is probably going to be diminished a little bit. But, yeah, you are going to have some teams, like when you get to number 12 versus number 1, there's probably going to be a pretty big disparity there. Right. I love the idea of on-campus games. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The idea of a team from the South having to go to, like, Ann Arbor in December, it's hilarious. I think it's fantastic. The idea of a small school maybe getting to go play on the road at a big school and trying to be the giant killer. I love the actual on-campus atmosphere. Part of what hurts the playoff is these games are so antiseptic. They're in these big giant stadiums. I mean, the Rose Bowl is a little bit of an exception here.
That's like the only exception.
Yeah, but they're in these big giant corporate stadiums, and there's 14 fans. You know, there's 14 kids from the student section there, and we slap the logo on. Oh, it's the student section. No, it's not really the student section. Yeah. It's going to bring that, and that's great TV. So I love that idea. 12 just seems like an awful lot.
Let me pose something to you guys. Let me ask you, just be kind of devil's advocate here and play the role of a fan that looks at it from the outside. And the question I pose to you guys is college football turning into the professionals? And I say that for three reasons. The NFL just expanded. Here comes college football thinking about expanding. There is... Now we have the NIL, name, image, likeness, happening. Players about to get paid. You get paid on next level. And the last part of it is we've changed how kids can move as far as the transfer portal and all that. And that sounds like free agency. Is college football becoming NFL part two?
There have been elements that we have talked about throughout the run of this show. And one of them is the watering down, I guess, the lessening of the drama of the regular season. That is the number one thing I think of when I think about the rapid changes to college football right now. You look at a 12-team postseason, okay? And it goes back to me to the way that Georgia is scheduling just juggernaut Power 5 teams.
Right.
And it's almost like Georgia, in a way, kind of anticipated. I don't know if they obviously could have predicted that it would go to a 12-team playoff within 5 years.
But knowing you got these dudes on your schedule helps, yeah.
Yeah, but knowing, like, I want to pack my schedule. I have the awareness. I have the comfort that if I lose two, maybe even three games in the SEC, but now we've got a 12-team playoff. Yeah, it does look a little bit more like the NFL, but it probably gives you a better position from a program standpoint. I'm answering this from Georgia's standpoint. You feel like you're still able to compete. The game's not passing you by. You haven't resisted the change. You've been at the forefront of the change. As far as the free agency goes and the NIL, I just can't really wrap my mind around how many of these changes are happening at the same time. That's the crazy thing. It's not like we're expanding the playoff, and then in a few years we'll talk about NIL, and then in a few years we'll talk about the transfer rules and the transfer portal. It's all happening right now. You know, it's like going through this time warp of rule changes, and it really is changing a lot right before our very eyes.
I think that the NIL and the transfer thing, I think those are great. I think those are two areas that really needed to be addressed and have needed to be addressed for a while. I don't have a problem with those at all. Expanding the schedule.
If you're a premier team, you're going to play 15, 16 games. Yeah. So
I'm not sold on this 12 thing. I don't think the 12 is going to happen. Now, I don't know anything. I'm not.
Yeah, when I say 12, I'm just just speculating on.
I mean, we may end up playing one more game. But yeah, I definitely see your point, Wes, and I see your point, DJ. It does feel that way sometimes, but the two biggest changes, I think, are the transfer and the NIL, and I think those are great. I think it's sets it up to be more fair to the kids that are playing this game. Mm-hmm. It's more representative of what America should be, to be honest. And I think those are changes that needed to happen. The number of games, yeah, it's concerning. But, you know, people love what they love. I mean, if DJ, when you were playing, if you ended that season with a bad taste in your mouth and somebody told you you got to add another game, you'd probably be okay with that, wouldn't you?
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, you want to play in the games. That's what you go to these major universities for, and now you get more opportunities. So it doesn't bother me, like you mentioned, with the NIL and the transfer portal. Obviously, the transfer portal is something that it's going to be interesting to see how it really plays out down the line because of the ability maybe to move through so many different maybe teams or conferences or whatever it may be if you're not happy, how much that actually happens. I saw a post the other day, and it was something where a kid was, you know, putting his name in the transfer portal, and then as soon as he gets in, there's 2,800 more kids in there, you know, and now they're just one of many, and it's a different type of element. But
yeah, I mean, that is concerning to me. Then you hope that these kids are making informed decisions, and these aren't emotional decisions, and they're not doing it because they got pissed off in a team meeting or a coach looked at them sideways. You hope that they're making – because I worry about the kids out there that had opportunities – and now won't have those opportunities because they felt like they weren't going to play, and that bothers me and that scares me. I know that's been a concern of coaches for a while.
And I think the number one thing now is when I came out, I don't know if it was just me or it was just the guys that I came in with or the guys that came after me. I just didn't feel like guys came to college and felt entitled. And now I feel like there's so many kids who feel entitled when they get to college because they have been put on a pedestal for I don't know how long. And now I guess social media, you can add to it, is a big part of it. That's a part of, you know, everybody having access to all these kids and can boost them up. And as soon as a kid says, hey,
you don't feel like I'm really an loving amateur. This school. Yeah, no. You don't feel like an amateur when you have 25,000 followers and you're a junior in high school. I mean, do you feel like
I'll be honest, professional
at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't just see it in athletes. I see it in my own children. I see it in – I'm turning into old man here preaching.
Yeah, this is turning into
I see it in people like when I'm looking at resumes, when we've got a job open and we're looking at resumes, I look at these people's social media accounts and they're all about promoting their brand and doing this and doing that. And I think there is kind of a social media has created a little bit of a sense of entitlement with people. Yeah,
no doubt.
And I think it's just like, but I also am not going to play the old man and social media is bad. I think social media is like everything. It's got its good points and it's got its bad points. For every bad story of social media, there's something wonderful that you read or something that you see. It's just you hope that people live in the real world and they don't just live on what's on their phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the great equalizer in sports. And that's what I wonder, Shock. Like, what makes college football what it is, even if all these things transpire? Like, what allows college football to maintain that kind of spirit of, because you can't say amateurism too much longer, I guess. It's like a different tier of amateurism, but, you know, it's like that the word that people use so much, the pageantry of college football. You know, I'm not worried that that goes away. I think there's still tradition in college football that makes it unique from the NFL, but from a game standpoint, rule standpoint, logistics standpoint, it does, to me, start to feel more like the NFL.
The one thing that makes it different, though, and people ask me all the time, what did I like more? Did I like college? Did I like pro better? What was the difference between the two? And the one thing that always comes to mind first is you got true fans in college football. You don't have the fair weather fans that – or they don't have – it's kind of like Atlanta. You got a bunch of people who've moved to Atlanta and not really Falcon fans or not really Braves or Hawks fans, but
– 2-2.
They like them, no doubt, 2-2. They like them just because – Mike, you like that? Yeah. Good job, Wes, for to point that in there. But – I think true fans makes it fun though, man. I guarantee you, it doesn't matter. I remember going to play at LSU. They hated us so bad, but yeah, we loved it because we knew that environment was going to be raucous. The only place I felt like that in the National Football League was my rookie year when we went and played in New Orleans after Katrina and we went into that stadium. That felt like a college stadium. Other than that, I never felt what I felt playing in Sanford Stadium, with playing, you know, in Death Valley, whatever it may be. True fans in college football is the difference.
Only NFL stadium, and I've been in a lot of them, only NFL stadium I've ever been to that is even remotely close to a college stadium is Kansas City.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I was going to guess.
Kansas City is true.
Kansas City is very much a college crowd. The rest of them, you might as well. I mean, it's a corporate cocktail party.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. People out there,
I think, Wes, to your point, I think it's the fact that a lot of these college towns are, I mean, a lot of these stadiums are in college towns. Mm. I mean, you got players and you got fans that live within a couple hundred yards of where they're playing and where they're watching and where they're cheering. You've got people who have been going to these games since they were 19 years old and now they're maybe 50, 60, 70. There is an emotional attachment to college football that pro football will never be. And I'm not saying there aren't people that aren't emotionally attached to a pro football team.
No doubt.
I'm just saying they're in the minority.
For sure.
Yep. Shock, I saw you got to visit Sanford Stadium a few nights ago.
I did.
How's that?
Man, be careful what you say here because I don't want to have to go through an edit again.
Yeah, we talked about some.
Yeah.
Contraband.
No, man, I got a chance to go off back limits. And I got a chance to go back and I had my little guy with me and the stadium was open. So we went in and I let him run around. It was pretty cool. When I got in there and I saw the lights, they had the red lights going on.
You can say what you were doing.
Okay, so I went down and so it was the first weekend of official visits in Athens.
Yeah, it's
and,
not like Shock just walked past Sanford and it was open.
It just walked in.
Just don't mention anybody's name and we're good.
So it was the first official weekend of, you know, recruits and families being in town. It was pretty cool. First time that, you know, people were actually able to come and visit the campus and all, and Kirby had me come in and speak to the recruits and the families, and all the coaching staff was there, and it was pretty cool. He just wanted me to speak on what Georgia meant to me and, you know, all that. And after all that was over, you get to meet everybody, and then we go out into the stadium, and while the recruits and stuff are, you know, doing their social media stuff that we just talked about, with taking all these cool pictures and taking it in front of lasers and all this kind of stuff, me and my little guy, we go out, and Mike, you probably have a better saying of how you call it, but the red lights were going all the way around. It was pretty lit up, really nice. And it was crazy. As soon as I walked in, the first guy I thought about was Mike. And I was like, Mike can turn the lights off. I mean, he can have this thing, you know, pitch black in here right now. But my little guy just takes off. He's got the entire field to himself, takes off, and he gets all the way. I mean, he runs 100 yards all the way to the other side and dives into the end zone. And you could just see it was pretty cool moment for him to have the entire Sanford Stadium to himself running around on the field. And he's standing in the middle of the G, and I'm walking out there, and I'm like, I'm looking around like, dang, I can't believe I used to play out here in this. Like, it hit me for some reason. I don't know why, but I was like, after I had many days on that field, to stand in that, you know, stadium with it, you know, completely empty, and then see my little guy running around was a pretty cool moment, and him soaking it up, and dude did not want to leave. Like, dude got angry with me because he couldn't run anymore around the field and just jump, and, you know, had the whole stadium to himself, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what you dream of, man, that age, to have a whole college football stadium at your fingertips underneath red lights.
I don't even think he still fathoms that he has this opportunity to do that. So, Maybe one day he will, but it was pretty cool.
I hope
cool.
he enjoys it, because honestly, my kids have gotten spoiled to it, and they're to them it's no big deal anymore.
Nothing.
I hope he never grows out of that, because that's awesome.
I know.
Yeah. I've spent a lot of time in that stadium empty. You know, because a lot of times we're doing
it's pretty cool in there empty,
man. It's almost like a church. No doubt. It really is, especially when there's nobody in there and it's real quiet. You got the sun setting, like right about, we're taping this at about 8:30, 8:45.
Yeah.
And the sun's kind of down, but the sky is still light. It's really nice.
And it's massive too. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I guess I took for granted when I was actually playing there what it was like being on the field, because I was so locked in during the time I was on the field that I didn't really soak it in. And then even when you come up to the sideline, you're, you know, making adjustments, you're thinking about what you got to do next series, and sometimes yeah,
you're
look up.
You're not looking up, wow, look at this man. Crowd.
And sometimes you do, though. Sometimes you look at me like, man, this place is jumping. But
yeah.
You quickly got to bring yourself back, because if you're sitting there all wide-eyed looking around, your coach walks up, he's like, dude, are you serious? Like, we got to play a game, and you in here wide-eyed. So
I keep thinking of that NFL Films when it was one of the Super Bowls. It was the Bengals 49ers, and the 49ers are driving, and that last drive, and Joe Montana's mic'd up, and he's in the huddle, and they're talking during a TV timeout, and he looks in the stands, and he goes, "Hey, look, it's John Candy." And all I keep thinking of is like, yeah, well, he must have been a different cat, because I think everybody else would have been jarred up in that situation. He's like, hey, yeah. Look, it's John Candy.
No doubt.
It's iconic, man. Iconic moment.
My one of my good friends, Sean Jones, former Georgia safety, really good player, played for the Browns, got married this past weekend. You know, congrats to him. And it was pretty cool. I got to see my man Leonard Pope this weekend, my big tight end who threw many of touchdowns and passes too through his career. And he shows me a picture of him and Big O. And I said, dude, this is the first time I've ever seen anybody make you look little. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Pope is 6'7", 240, whatever it is. And Big O made him look like a small dude. And I was like, so that tells you how big Big O is. So fun time seeing some of my former dog, Ryan Davis. I saw him. It was good to see him. So I even saw a former Yellow Jacket who used to beat up on all the time. So it was fun seeing some of those dudes, man. My man, Kieran Fox, if you guys remember that name.
Yep. Yep, I do remember that name.
Linebacker, get him a freaking Super Bowl. So hey,
I guess things balance out.
No doubt,
for some of them.
But see, it balances out. But at the wedding, the first thing he talked to me about is a couple plays that we did to them, Georgia versus Georgia Tech, and that's what he remembers. So it never really balances out. We always get the win.
You're just living rent free, man, as they say on the internet.
Rent free. You go undefeated versus Tech, you know, those dudes can't really say much to you. So gosh, I always live that up.
That's got to be terrible. I mean, in any rivalry, to go 0-4, I mean, especially that one, Georgia Tech.
I'm trying to think now. Now I'm trying to think, is there anybody out there that went 0-5?
Ooh.
Because I don't think we lost that many at all. Year or something.
I don't know. I got to look at that streak. I'm sure there's somebody out there.
There's got to be somebody in there.
And I remember Coach Rick used to always tell that to your class, hey, don't be the guy to lose your deck. That's the last thing he would tell us before you go out in the field. I saw Coach Rick and Coach Dooley about 2 weeks ago, which was pretty cool. I got to see Coach Rick. Coach Rick was still sharp as a tack. He was bringing up plays that we ran back in our heyday. And Coach Dooley was sitting there chilling. So it was good to see two legends from the Dogs coaching days for sure.
Coach Dooley, did you go to Coach Dooley's house?
No, I wasn't at his house. I was at doing a little signing or something.
So we went to his house. I think it was last year to do a. No, it was 2 years ago. It was when we renamed the field for him.
Yeah.
And we did a video with him. And man, his house is awesome. His house is like a museum.
He's yeah, somebody lived told there me he's got like hidden rooms and all kind of stuff.
I don't know about that. I didn't get invited. to those, but just some of the stuff he has, and just all the honors. Honored for the Vince Dooley received this honor for this and this. Yep. And here's this painting, and here's this iconic photo, and it's just. It's awesome.
He's lived there since he took the job at Georgia and just built onto it.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
He's got the beautiful garden and everything.
Yep.
The horticulturist. I really love the garden, though, you know.
Yep. He's got a couple flowers named after him.
Yep, that's right.
And, yeah, he's a Renaissance man, you know.
Wes, what's new in your neighborhood, bro? What's going on? How's the fam, the kids? How are they doing?
All right, so
uh-oh.
She's 16 months old, and she is she's starting to get a little person. Like, she already had a personality, but she's starting to feel herself a little bit more and be very vocal.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And she's like, whenever she sees other kids now at the playground or whatever, it's like, there are other people my size in the world, you know? The pandemic kind of set that back a little bit. Not just locked
in my house anymore.
Exactly. So it's fun. It's a very fun age. And
and Mike, you're still getting that, right? You're still getting your kids with that personality, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we talk about, my wife and I talk about how, you know, how they're stupid. And, you know, they're very headstrong and they're opinionated and they're convinced they're always right. And then it's like, yeah, that's kind of how we raised them, I guess. So look at me dealing with the consequences of my actions. So no, but they're all good. They're all good. The youngest one went to Oklahoma City and went to see the Dogs play softball, which was kind of cool. And he has a little girlfriend there that I don't know if she's a girlfriend, a friend who's a girl. He was a softball player, and he stayed with her and her family for a couple of days, and he had a good time.
Wow, met the fam?
Yeah, I know.
Mike, that's a girlfriend. He's meeting the family. Well, that's a girlfriend.
I think they're realistic in the fact that she lives in Oklahoma and he lives here, and it's not much of a, you know, they got a hard road ahead of them if they're going to make this work. Let's put it that way.
right now, it's all good.
Love the vote of confidence.
Yeah. And then the in-laws.
Mike's like secretly hoping it's not working. Like, that's what he does.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be awesome. But let's wait a little while. He's only 19. And then my wife's mom and dad were in town, so that was nice. They got to visit. We hadn't seen them in a year and a half, which was great to see them and spend some time with them. And that was awesome. Nice. We got to take them out. We took them to a nice dinner downtown in Athens for their 55th wedding anniversary.
And nice.
Wow. That was nice for them and good time to spend with them. My dad went with us that night and we had a good time. We had a real good time.
Nice. What'd you guys eat? Get a good steak or something?
I think my dad and my father-in-law had a steak. I had a burger. I was not, I was trying to behave a little. it was a good steak, man. I saw that steak. But yeah, we had a good time. We went to Five downtown.
You know, there's nothing like Athens downtown in the summer.
It's the best. It is absolutely. It more than makes up for the 9 months a year where you can't park down there.
Yeah,
that is the worst. I don't know if I've ever been down there when it's not been tough to park somewhere. Golly.
Yeah, it's like the 3 months that we're the townies, the 3 months that the townies get the town back for a while, which is
great. Yep.
But it does, I will say this, it does lack a certain amount of energy with the students being gone.
That's true.
Even if it's a little bit more inconvenient when they're here, it lacks a certain amount of energy when they're gone.
Mike, do you consider yourself a local now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We used to call you guys Lokes.
We were Lokes. Lokes. Yeah. Is that what it took?
The Lokes. The Lokes in the party, you guys. You guys better be. Exactly. Watch out.
The townies. I mean, my youngest son, he's lived in Georgia longer than he lived in Oklahoma. So
there you go.
That's pretty much the key right there. I mean, Athens is Watkinsville. That's home for us now. We love it here. We're never leaving.
It's a great town.
Are you sad that Joel Embiid may not play and the Hawks will go up 3-2?
Hey, are you sad about that? If they want to illegally injure our best player, you know, I can't really.
What? When did that happen? When did that happen?
He was banged up coming in.
Right. Dude's knee's been done.
What?
Yeah. I just don't need any of your lip. We're going to win in six.
Oh man! So you okay?
They, when did you text me about that? And I was like, "Hey man, I'm working." What
I forgot when that was. Over the weekend, he's like, hey, some people have to work right here.
There was one day when y'all were texting about it, and I'd actually taken PTO, and we were like in the mountains, and I did not have my phone all day. And I came back and y'all had some back and forth about the game. I was like, man.
How much did it get up to?
I can't even jump. 40 messages? I can't jump into this one.
A little too late. 78 unread messages.
It wasn't that bad. But
now I gotta look back. Now I'm gonna pick up the phone and look back through it and see what it was. Oh, guess where? I went to Bucky's today.
Ooh. What did you partake in?
So we went to I was at a meeting at the conference office in Birmingham this morning, and on our way back we stopped in Leeds, home of Charles Barkley, and they have a brand new Bucky's in Leeds. And I have been to Bucky's in outside of Dallas a couple years ago, and the one in Leeds is, I swear, it's twice the size of the one in Dallas, but it is fantastic. I bought 3 bags of Beaver Nuggets. And
the damn Beaver Nuggets again.
I know. And then I bought a wine glass for one of my coworkers. It's a Bucky's. It's like a Bucky's Yeti Beaver wine glass.
Hey, bro, can you go and get me some Beaver Nuggets and a wine glass? Thank you.
Hey, man, that place is awesome. The Beaver Nuggets are the real deal too.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect because I drove past the one that they're building in North Georgia. Where are they putting that one in?
I know it's up there. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I drove past that one. I saw the framework of it going in. I felt like I was like witnessing a monument being built. As much as Mike,
oh man, there were so many people in there just begging the Bucky's people to take their money. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
It was just like I want one of these, 6 of these, 5 of these, 4 of these.
Just random stuff, huh?
Yep. Oh, I mean, there was. You got beef jerky. You got like clothing. You got like outdoor supplies. You got all.
It's
an
unreal place. It's a one stop shop. Everything.
Yeah. They got everything.
They got oil in there. You know, you can put oil in. Yep.
It's pretty cool. They got like 78 gas pumps. You go in the men's room, and the men's room is just this line of stalls that looks like it's 100 yards long, but everything is like all tile. So I guarantee you they just come in there with like a fire hose and just hose that thing down at the end of the night like a stadium. It's just, but it's all super clean, super efficient. I mean, it sounds like they are not a sponsor of the podcast. We would welcome
them. They're definitely
not. Should they like to be. But it was pretty cool. It was pretty fun.
There's an episode of King of the Hill where they get like a Mega Mart.
Yeah.
This is what I picture when you talk about this store because there's so many things going on inside.
It's literally 150 yards long, this store. Yeah, you think of something like a racetrack or a Quick Trip.
150 yards?
Yeah, you think of like a racetrack or a Quick Trip or some of these truck stops that you see when you're out driving.
Yeah.
It's gigantic, this place.
So it's like crushing like a super Walmart, just crushing one of those.
Yeah, it's monstrous. They got their own road coming in. Basically, there's a four-way intersection, and one of the ways is basically the Bucky's parking lot.
They making a killing. Whoever came with that making a killing.
And please report that traffic on Interstate 20 sucks as always.
A little backed up.
Oh God, the worst. We're coming back and we're in Alabama and we're backed up. Like Waze says we're backed up for like 5 miles. I'm like, what is going on here?
5 miles.
They cut it down to one lane. It's one lane, 4 miles, 3 miles, 2 miles, 1 mile. There's a Alabama Highway Patrol guy that's kind of blocked there. Just sitting in his car doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
About another 500 yards, and it's literally 3 guys with a shovel and a truck. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
That's the worst right there. You get up there, it's nothing.
Took the whole thing down to one lane for 5 miles and backed us up. Basically added 30 minutes to the trip. Thanks a lot, Alabama Department of Transportation.
That's terrible.
If you're looking at the state of Georgia and you're like, you got a mental image of 20 going west, I feel like that's the issue. West is always crazy, horrible construction. And then east, you are just taking your life into your hands. by agreeing to participate in that traffic.
It's like Talladega moved like 300 miles to the right.
I was just in that the other day. Yes. So, no, all what you're talking about in that 20 is headed down to Greensboro.
Oh, and so the exits just barely fade in and out.
No doubt.
And don't drive it during Masters Week.
No chance.
Because it is like amateur hour during Masters Week.
People running late.
Got to get there for Phil's tea time.
Who? If I'm not there to scream mashed potatoes, who will?
Is Ricky playing this year?
I feel like they throw you out of Augusta National if you yell mashed potatoes.
All right. They'll throw you out. They'll throw you out for saying anything. I asked someone.
By the way, I 100% am behind that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. It's the dumbest thing.
It's a place where you don't think you say bad things because it's just beautiful vibes everywhere at Augusta National.
I have a buddy that calls Freddie Couples Bam Bam because that's like his nickname.
I thought his nickname was Boom Boom.
Boom Boom. Okay. Not Bam Bam.
Boom Boom, Bam Bam. Bam.
So I saw some guy looking at his tee sheet a few years back, and I said, "Hey, when does Boom Boom tee off?" I was just like joking with him, and a security guard was like, "Don't say that." And I thought he was joking. I was like, "Oh yeah, I know his name's actually Freddie Couples." He goes, "No, don't say Boom Boom. We've already warned several people about that." And I was like, "All right, man. I was not going to yell it."
He got serious with you.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Yeah.
Did he square up on you? Like, say it again.
No.
Say it again.
No, you just have to be very careful. You do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very careful. I'm not going to say much more about it.
All right. That is a smart line to take.
U.S. Open, who we got?
Not Phil.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen again. Forget about that.
Phil is officially washed now, I'm guessing.
Phil's just there to just
Let me take
just,
a look at the odds here.
Get a check.
What are the odds here on this?
So Rom is the favorite as he, after his COVID thing, I guess people think he's got this fire under his collar. But that
y'all don't like Rom?
I like him.
Nah. Not on a U.S. Open.
I never liked the favorite.
Rom does not have the temperament to succeed in a U.S. Open. He runs too hot. He's going to have a bad hole. He's going to lose his mind, and then he's done.
Yeah, I mean, you think that's just like, it's the, he's like Sergio, the Spaniard players get angry, but Rom does have a temper as well.
Rom's gotten better, though.
Yes, I agree.
He's gotten better.
He's definitely gotten better.
The guys who play really well emotional. During U.S. Opens are the ones where you are checking their pulse to see if they're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can hold the mirror up to their nose to see the water vapor, if they're still breathing, that's a guy that could win a U.S. Open.
A guy like Justin Rose.
Dustin Johnson. I was going to say Dustin Johnson. But Justin Rose is another one. Rose is another one.
Like, dude,
solid.
Are you
solid? He's solid.
Is this like Weekend at Bernie's? Is somebody reanimating you for 18 holes? Cool.
He got his shades on. He just be chilling, walking down the fairway like it's another day. Yeah.
Steve Stricker, another one. Now, he's not a favorite in this week, but I'm saying over his career, he played well in opens. Jim Furyk played well in opens.
Furyk played good in everything, don't you, man?
Now, Phil has set the record for the most second place finishes with 6, but he still doesn't have the W. Mm. But I think Phil's an anomaly.
Okay.
I'm looking at the odds.
I was really, really happy with my Tyrrell Hatton pick during the PGA until I found out that he was getting married the next week, and then I was hot about it. Because I was pick a dude that is on the verge of getting married. Because his wife is, or his future wife is blowing him up about, now make sure you get your text done. Okay, now did you get the black dress socks? Not the blue dress socks, the black dress socks. So I feel like had I known that information, I would not have gone with Tyrrell Hatton.
No way. Absolutely not. Our picks for that one, by the way, Colin finished the highest.
Morikawa?
Yeah. Yep.
Did I pick him? I thought I picked him, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I picked him.
Dang, I thought it was me.
You picked...
I thought it was me.
I finished the even, DJ, I think.
Did I pick Xander? Who did I pick?
You and I finished even.
We finished even?
Yeah.
You talk trash about Keegan Bradley. Who did you have?
Bro.
I had Hovland.
That's right.
Victor.
Yeah.
Victor,
Hovland was two over.
He did have a great moment there where he where that shot out of the bunker where he's like, I don't know, I kind of want to try it.
Mm-hmm. Little sidewinder.
Yeah. That's the can-do attitude of an Oklahoma State University guy.
My dude, Victor Hovland, though.
Yeah.
17 out of 18.
Yeah, I know.
17 out of 18. Dude hasn't missed cuts, man.
As the kids say, he can golf that ball.
No doubt.
He's going golfing.
All right, so San Diego, Torrey Pines. It's long. The rough is ridiculous.
So it fits longer hitter, so Rami is good, yeah.
I hesitate to bring this up.
Uh-oh.
The big golfer is out there lurking.
The big golfer?
Not Bryson? No?
I'm telling you, he's out there.
Oh, God.
I know. I don't want to do it either. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yes, you do. You want to.
No, I don't want to do it. Believe me.
You want to. You want to.
No, I am Team Brooks 100%.
I think both sides look kind of foolish at this point.
I still think we got played on that. I still think that whole thing was fake.
You think it was?
Brooksy rolling maybe
not
eyes.
Maybe not fake, but good-natured.
Wow.
I don't know.
They should have just.
That's my moon landing conspiracy for the day.
They should have just paired them up. That would have been.
I just want must see TV. I want them to just square off and at Brooks to just. I mean, Bryson went to SMU, man. That kid's going down. Nobody from SMU knows how to fight.
I feel like we could spend an episode talking about the different like vibes and
fighting.
Well, there's that, but also all the Texas schools and how they hate each other for different reasons. Like that, there's a lot of different kind of beef.
That's a good point.
Going on between those Texas schools.
Was that a pun? Was that a pun there on, you know?
No.
What's funny is you got a big Texas faction. You got a big Oklahoma State faction.
Yeah.
You got a big Georgia faction. There's a couple of these groups that have multiple guys that have been successful on tour, and I feel like there is a rivalry with them. And then it'd be interesting to see. I know they do that kind of college cup thing where they get points, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see an event. I'd like to see like a match play event where it's like Oklahoma State versus Georgia versus Texas versus, I don't know, Arizona or somebody like Arizona State. Arizona State would be good because you got Rahm and Mickelson. But that would be kind of a cool event.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Like the Ryder Cup, but for college teams.
Ooh.
That would be sick.
And then maybe you have one or two kids from the actual team going on, like that are still in school.
Everybody gets one amateur player.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
One college player.
You get like a couple of the best coaches.
Yeah.
They get to draft it up.
Yeah. That would be pretty sweet.
Throw it out there, Mike. Let's go.
We may have just invented a pay-per-view. I'm going to get Turner on the line. They'll get
throw it out there. Let's get it in. I'm with it.
I'd watch that.
I think I'm going Hovland this time. I think I'm stealing Hovland from Schott.
Wow.
This is like an episode of The Voice. He's looked up a stat line on him. He's looking more intriguing to him. Look at him.
I am.
I'm going to stay with Colin. I'm going to go with Colin, man.
All right. We just flip-flop. All right.
Yeah. No doubt. I like Colin.
I'm going to stay with Colin, who I do pick.
Oh, sucks. No. I'm sorry. It was in my brain. Sorry. You guys weren't in that. Sorry. I've been talking to myself inside my head, so my bad. Sorry about that. You guys weren't in that.
I don't know. I don't know who I like, man.
Yes, you do. You just said who you like.
I'm not picking Bryson. I'm not picking Bryson. All right, I'm picking Bryson.
I knew it.
I'm doing it just so I can just wreck him in 2 weeks when he like finishes DFL.
Oh man,
I love it.
He is four shots off the cut line here, and he's on 17.
He's gonna hit one real deep into the rough and take a swing and like completely dislocate his elbow or something.
It'd be ridiculous.
He'll try to play through it like Tiger did, and he'll start just pounding balls into the ocean. He'll hit one of the hang glider guys, the parasailers.
And they're going to catch Brooks when he comes off looking side-eyed. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yep. Just make sure security does its job this time.
Rent-free.
Brooks will be like, I really did that last night, fellas. Don't worry about it.
We got anything else we need to talk about here?
I was going to ask Shock how he felt about Julio wearing that Titans jersey. Saw the video of that.
Last time I checked, he played for the Titans, right?
Yeah. But other than that, I don't think so.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, dude. So. I mean, he probably don't matter what he wear, but the dude look good in number two. He look good in a Titans uniform. I mean, the dude is.
Let's be honest, that dude look good in any uniform. That's what I'm saying. Like, kid's a player.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to stop them, bro. I mean, you got two monsters on the outside. You got an even bigger monster in the backfield. Like,
hey, you gonna
put eight in the box?
Who's their quarterback?
Tannehill.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna have one on one.
Sorry, I'm not sold on.
He gonna have one on one opportunities with two of the. They gonna make him look good.
Yeah,
these dudes is 6'3" out there and 200 plus, and they are grown men.
But you know how it is. You gotta.
Doesn't always work that way.
They don't respect him. They ain't gonna respect him.
Yeah.
If he can't make the open throws, it's gonna get ugly for him.
Bro, Tannehill gonna be all right. Watch this. Man gonna throw for 4,500 yardage or what?
And then I will come on here and I will take my whooping.
Man,
a lot of predictions to see how it unfolds. But first, we got the U.S. Open, and we won't be able to talk about it for 2 weeks. So,
if my guy wins, guess what? I won't let y'all forget. So,
yeah, we know,
no doubt. So, guess what? 2 weeks, I will remind y'all.
Everybody but Bryson.
Anybody but Bryson.
Anybody but Bryson can win.
I hope he wins.
And go and dogs. We got holla. Of course we got a bunch of dogs in the field, as always. So
Bubblegum fresh. Did we see the J's that Bubble had on this week?
Oh, yep. I did see those J's. You see those?
Mm-hmm.
They were nice.
I respect Bubba, and you know, I don't care that he's only won his majors at the Masters. He milks these Jordan opportunities at the majors for everything they're worth. And
dude, I would be driving around in a car with a Jordan billboard. Yeah.
And Wes, you bringing up Harry English. I thought he's going to win it last weekend, man. Yeah, he was in it.
We got Harris.
Brendan Todd. Brendan Todd posted a picture on his Instagram of, I guess, his kids and his wife decorated his golf bag for Father's Day. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Russell Henley.
So that's my sentimental pick right there, Brandon Todd. We need to get him on here. He only lives like 2 miles from me.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We could have a Georgia golfer on here every episode if we wanted to.
I'm going to try and make that happen.
It's a lot of
since I dropped the ball on the guest tonight.
Mike, you got the juice. Don't worry about it.
Nah, you're good.
I got zero juice.
You got your Buc-ee's. You got your Beaver Nuggets.
I did get
Buc-ee's.
I did. I'm going to go drown myself.
As long as you got Beaver Nuggets, you're good.
All right. Thanks for listening to Shock and Ship. Please rate and review the show every other week right now because we're in the off season. So don't worry if you don't see a new episode next week. But we're keeping you posted on all the cool stuff this summer until football season kicks off. It'll be right around the corner. And until then, we're keeping you up to date on all the other dog news you can want.
For sure.
This is Shock and Ship. We'll catch you next time.